And we'll look at Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 17. If you need a Bible, we have Bibles for you. Just also want to ask if you have your phone to make sure your phone's put away. We're going to start this morning from reading in Philippians chapter 3. So I'll give you a second just to turn there. Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 17, says, "Brothers and sisters, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I often told you, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory, by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved." Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we come to you this morning and we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for your word, which is spoken through men from long ago, but is true and is so important for us to know, Lord. Lord, help us to understand your word and what it means for our life, and even bless our time together this morning, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. I used to care about that. I used to care about playing soccer. I used to care about Hot Wheels cars. I used to care about building things with Legos. I used to care about Play-Doh. I don't know. I'm sure you could get a whole list of things that you used to care about, but don't anymore. And that's a pretty normal thing, if you think about it, for us to have hobbies that we think are interesting for a little bit, and then our interests or those hobbies change as we get older. And that can be a really good thing. It's probably a good thing that you don't really like watching Bluey anymore or doing things that little kids do. Sorry if you do. We'll talk about it after. But it's good that some of our hobbies don't stay the same as they always were. It's good that sometimes our interests change and grow. Maybe it's a sport that you used to love that you're not as interested in anymore, or an instrument, or just some other hobby, whatever it is. We find that there's some things in life that we have interests that change. And here this morning, we find some encouraging words from the Lord to help us see that we should never want to find ourselves thinking that way about a relationship to Jesus. We should never want to be in a place where we find Jesus no longer interesting to us, or to find our interest in Jesus Christ, our focus on Jesus that may have once been there, kind of waning or growing cold or being forgotten or not being as important as it once was. Now, we know from the Bible, we know from this book that if you've become a Christian, if you're truly a believer in Jesus, you cannot lose your salvation. Philippians 1, verse 6, Paul says that he, God, who started a good work in you, will bring it to completion. We find in Philippians 2, verse 13, that God is at work in you if you are a Christian, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. God is someone who saves, and he can save you to completion someday in the future. But here in these verses that we look at this morning, after some of those truths that we've seen earlier in this book, we find some good reminders for Christians. some good reminders in case we might be in a situation where we start to drift or to start to lose our interests in Jesus or to start to be distracted away from the right focus that we need to always have as Christians. We find here a message that's here to help us make sure we know Jesus as our Savior, and that if you're a Christian, if you're a believer in Jesus, that you're someone who's growing and who's changing more and more into becoming the person that God wants you to be. If you're a Christian, God doesn't want you to be pulled off track or to be drifting away from Jesus in the wrong direction. He wants you to be growing and to continue to and to keep on pressing on to be like Jesus. We've seen that in chapter 3 of Philippians earlier, where the Apostle Paul talked about how he viewed his life as a Christian. In verse 12 of chapter 3, he talked about how he starts this section where he talks about how he realizes he's not already perfect and that he must forget the things that lie behind and press on to keep on going forward, reaching forward to what lies ahead as a Christian. God wants you to be a Christian like that, who's standing firm, someone saved by Jesus, who's pressing on in the right direction, who never finds themselves in a spot where they're far away from where they should be as a Christian. God wants you to be growing to be more and more and more near and like your Savior Jesus. And we need reminders like we find here in these verses this morning. Because being a Christian is not always easy. Being a Christian can be very hard sometimes. Following Jesus doesn't mean our life will be free from troubles. There's persecution that might come, and there's just the difficulty of fighting the good fight of being a Christian. And even more, sometimes it can start to be so easy to let our focus go off of where it should be, for our focus on Jesus to slip little by little. And this was Paul's concern for the Christians long ago, and I believe it's God's concern for us here this morning. That if you've become a Christian, if you've placed your faith in Jesus, that you would be going in the right direction, that you'd be continuing on and going towards the right goal. Paul wrote all of this letter to his Christian friends in Philippi in order for them to be steadfast, in order for them to be rejoicing and growing, united Christians, walking worthy of the gospel. Back in chapter 1, Paul wrote in verse 25 that he cared about their progress and joy in their faith. And then verse 27 of chapter 1, he wanted them to be standing firm in one spirit, with one mind striving together. In chapter 2, Paul had called them to work out their salvation, not to work to earn their salvation, but to live a life that's changed because they've already been saved by Jesus, a life that's different, that's transformed by Jesus. And that desire from Pastor Paul in these verses keeps on going. In chapter 2, verse 15, he wants the Christians to appear as lights in this world. So we can find in this letter kind of again and again that there's this call for a focus and a call for strength and for growth in our life as Christians, to make sure that we're people who really know about how amazing it is to know Jesus, and to make sure that we're living our lives filled with joy because Jesus is our Savior. And to make sure that if you're a Christian, you're standing strong, going in the right direction, headed on the right track toward the right goal. How would that be possible? How is that possible for Christians? How can we ask ourselves and kind of even do a little bit of a checkup as a Christian to make sure we're headed in the right direction, not drifting away from Jesus in the wrong direction? How can we make sure we're growing as Christians? Starting back in verse 12 of chapter 3, Paul has said some really helpful things about what it looks like to grow as a Christian. He talked about how he forgot what lies behind. He saw himself humbly right now, knowing that he wasn't perfect yet, that he hadn't become totally perfect and sinless yet in this life. And he talked about how he was pressing on towards this goal. And we see more of how we can be helped to make sure we're headed in the right direction as Christians here, starting in verse 17. Here's a big idea for us to kind of keep on answering today. How can I be standing firm and growing strong as a Christian? How can I be standing firm and growing strong as a Christian? God's word helps us know how here. How can I make sure I'm standing firm and keep on growing as a Christian? Paul gives some keys here, some answers to that question. Number one, the first answer is that we need to follow the faithful. Follow the faithful. This is in verse 17. Paul says, brothers, or we could think of it as like brothers and sisters in Christ, fellow Christians. He says, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. The call he gives here, the command is to follow his example. Paul wants the Philippians to have in their constant line of sight what's right before them, the example and the pattern of someone who is faithful to Jesus. Faithful people around them, Christians who are living like Jesus, people who are ahead of them, standing firm and growing strong. And the way that we can be standing firm and growing strong comes from following those kinds of people. This is the first command that Paul's given in a while. He hasn't given a command since the very first, verse 2 of chapter 3. So he hasn't really been giving much instruction up to this point, just talking about his own life. He's been saying back in chapter 3 about the joy that he had of becoming a Christian, of no longer having to work in order to be saved, but to realize that Jesus is the one who did that work for him. Paul had placed his faith in Jesus, and now he was reaching forward towards this goal of following Jesus. And finally, here in verse 17, he says, follow me in doing that. Now, we might think, like, is this arrogant for Paul to say, follow me? Isn't that kind of prideful for someone to say that? Well, that's not what's going on here. Verse 12, Paul had already said that he has not already obtained it. He had not already become perfect. Paul was not sinless yet. And he knew that even as a strong Christian, he had so much growing to do still. So Paul's not saying, I'm perfect, follow me. But Paul is saying, you need to follow this pattern of life that I've set for you. We see also here that Paul's not just talking about himself here. The call is for people to follow, like, multiple people who walk according to this pattern you have in us, not just in me. Paul's probably thinking there of Timothy and Epaphroditus. He spoke of them in chapter 2, starting in verse 19, where he talked about how these men followed Jesus in a humble life, aiming to be like Jesus and to grow in that direction. And Paul probably even also had other godly Christians here at this church in Philippi that he could point the Christians to. All of these people wanting to follow Jesus. And he says, follow people like that. Are we to follow them because they're perfect? No. Again, Paul's not perfect. 1 Corinthians 11:1 is such a good verse. He told the Corinthian church, be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ. Paul's saying, follow me, follow other godly patterns, faithful Christians who are already ahead of you as they follow Jesus. Here we're told to be paying careful attention to, to notice and to observe the example and the pattern of faithful people who are faithful to Jesus. I've always loved being the youngest sibling. I have three older siblings, and there's a lot that I learned from their example. I learned a lot of things that I shouldn't do. A lot of things that are not good examples from my older brothers, like speeding tickets, and I'll save you the list of the other things. But there's a lot of really dumb things that I've seen my older siblings do. But there's also a lot of really good things that I could watch and learn from as I grew up, just to make sure I don't make some of the same mistakes that others have made, and that I follow some good examples. What does God want for you as a Christian middle schooler? It's to pay close attention to some older examples in your life and to follow them. And specifically, he wants you to pay very close attention to older Christians, good examples who are Christians, who are following Jesus closely. He wants us to follow his own example, the example of Paul and those who are faithful in following Jesus. He wants us to follow the examples that we find in the Bible here, in the pages of the Bible. And he wants us to follow the examples of the people around us here in our church, here in our families who are Christians. God wants us to watch and to listen and to learn from your parents if they're believers in Jesus. He wants you to learn from your pastors, from your leaders here in Exchange. God wants you to learn from older Christians all around you. And what a blessing that God has given you so many Christians who are following Christ ahead of you and can point you to him. What a blessing that God gives us people who can point us to Jesus, who can show us how to fight sin, who can show us how to grow in loving Jesus more, who can call you out and correct you and point you to what's righteous and right, who can point you to the Bible. God's given you those kinds of people in your life in order to help you grow as a Christian, and that is an incredible blessing. We need Christians ahead of us who are there to help you grow strong and stand firm as a Christian. Maybe just another word here is that if you're a Christian and you have younger siblings who know Jesus or maybe who don't, you're an example to younger people as well. And that's a great blessing that you get to have as a Christian, to set a good example of pointing people to Jesus who has saved you. A good question to ask here is, if you're a believer in Jesus and if you've become a Christian, who am I following closely? Who's influencing me? Who am I watching and listening to and learning from as they follow Jesus? That's what God wants for your life, to stand firm and to grow strong in the right direction as a Christian. Follow the faithful, Paul says. But number two, we also get another key here, another help. It's to be warned about the foolish. To be warned about the foolish. We see this in verses 18 and 19. Verse 18, "For many walk, of whom I've often told you and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their appetite. Their glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things." Make sure you're aware not only of faithful people around you, but also of the danger of foolish influences around you. God wants us to make sure that's something we're warned about and aware of, that there are people who are going against what Christ wants for our life. Who are these foolish people? We can find out here in verse 18. First, we know that there's many of these people. Paul says there's many. That means there's a bunch. And we know that's exactly what Jesus has said too. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says there are many who are on the way that leads to destruction. There's many people who are walking against Christ, against what Jesus wants. We also know that these people are dangerous to some degree. Paul says that he's often told the Philippians there about these people. He's warned them again and again, and they need to be watching out for these kinds of people. And this whole chapter makes us think these people might be the false teachers that he talked about at the beginning of chapter 3. He said in chapter 3, verse 2, beware of evil workers, beware of false circumcision, of the dogs, these people who were teaching against Jesus and against the gospel. And regardless of who these people were, we know that they can be summed up as enemies of the cross of Christ. There's a concern that Paul has here for the Philippians, because there are many who do not, who are not worth following, who are dangerous to follow, who are teaching something dangerous and wrong and are headed towards destruction. There are people, verse 18 shows us, who are enemies of the cross of Christ. What is the cross all about? We hear a lot about the cross in the Bible. When you think about the cross, we should think about God's love for us. God sent his son Jesus to live a perfect life and then to die on a cross in order to take the punishment that sinners deserve upon himself. Perfect Jesus died on a cross in order to rescue and to save sinners from God's judgment. And God did this for us out of his love, in order for us to be saved from our sins. Romans 5:8 says, God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But then Paul tells us here this sad, sad news that there are some who are against the cross. There are some people who don't love what God has done in showing his love for us. There's people who will slam the door on the truth about Jesus. They'll hear that God has made a way for them to be saved through what Jesus did on the cross, and they'll take that truth and they'll crumple it up and throw it away. They'll be enemies of that. They'll hear God's offer and they'll reject it. Verse 19 describes this way as foolish. They were people who were led by their own desires. They worshiped their own desires themselves. They live lives of shame because of their sin. Their minds are set on only the things of this world against God. And Paul says, verse 19, weeping and sorrow, their end is destruction. We need to make sure we understand how important the cross of Jesus is for our lives. We need to make sure that we know who Jesus is and what Jesus did, and not to lose sight of what he has done for us. To shut the door on Jesus, to not turn from our sins to him, and to not believe in him is the most dangerous thing you could possibly do. It means you're headed towards destruction. Without Jesus, without coming to him and without coming to his work, dying on the cross, we're on a path to destruction. If you know today that you're on that path of destruction, without hope, without Jesus, maybe even having kind of ignored or put off or even slammed the door on Jesus, today is the day that you need to become wise, that you need to turn from your sins and believe in Jesus in order to be saved from destruction, in order to be saved from your sins. If you've trusted in Jesus, if you've become a Christian, this is a sober, a sad, an important reminder for us to make sure our eyes are on Jesus who saves sinners, to make sure that we don't lift our eyes off of him, but keep on going towards him who saved us from our sins. How can I be standing firm and growing strong as a Christian? By remembering the gospel, remembering what Jesus did for me on the cross, and avoiding any way that's against Jesus and against what he has done, against what's true about Jesus. We need to follow faithful people, be warned about foolish people and foolish teaching. And last, number three, Paul tells us we need to focus on our future. Verse 20, he says, our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and my crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord. Here's how we can stand firm and be growing strong as Christians. It's, Paul says, to focus on our future. That word citizenship there would mean something for the Philippians. They were themselves citizens of Rome, even though they lived far away from Rome. Philippi was far away, but they still enjoyed being part of Rome as citizens, even though it was far away. And here Paul says that the Christians should know that they are right now citizens of heaven, even while they're far away from their home. One day we'll be in heaven forever with Jesus in perfect glory, even though we're not right now. But right now we are citizens of that place. Like if we were to go on a trip and be far away from where we belong, if you're an American and you leave and you go visit a faraway country, if you go visit Canada or Moldova or whatever it is, I don't know, some faraway country for the weekend, you're still a citizen of the United States, even while you're traveling in a place that's not home. That's how it is for Christians. If you're living here in this world, you're still a citizen of heaven away from where you belong, away from home, longing for the place that you will return to someday and be with Jesus forever. And Paul says we need to set our minds on where we're headed, on the future, on the things that are coming when Jesus comes back. A standing firm, growing strong Christian is focused on their future, on their home in heaven. And it's not really just the place that's such a big deal, but it's the person that we're going to meet there. Verse 20 says, we eagerly wait for the return of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is going to come back, and he's going to rescue and deliver those that he has saved. Jesus will bring us with him to heaven forever. And look at the power that Jesus has that he will show one day in the future. Verse 21, it says that Jesus will transform our body from a humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by his own power. Jesus has awesome power. I think sometimes we think of Jesus as somebody just from like a coloring page that you learned about. And he's kind of wearing like some weird clothes from a long time ago. And we only have one wrong view of what Jesus is like. The Bible tells us that in John 1:3, Jesus has made everything. Without Jesus, nothing was made that was made. The Bible tells us that by Jesus, all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth. Jesus has incredible power. And there's a day in the future where Jesus will transform his people here in the future into conformity with a body of glory that he has. In heaven, one day, Jesus will transform us. He'll conform us from our humble bodies into true glory. And what's that going to be like exactly? We don't know exactly. But we know enough here to know that it's going to be awesome. Right now, the Bible tells us, like Romans 8, that we are here and that we groan in our bodies. We're filled with trouble sometimes as Christians and filled with weakness and even in a battle with sin right now here in this world as a Christian. But at the return of Jesus, everything is going to be made perfect and it's going to be made right again. And our bodies, those of us who are believers in Jesus, will be glorified. They'll be perfected. They'll be imperishable. And we will be freed from sin forever. One of the best parts that we have to look forward to. We'll be with Jesus forever in his presence, perfect and without sin. And if you know Jesus now, you're a citizen of that place. That's where you're headed. That's who you will be one day. And God wants us to have our hearts set on that, our hearts focused on that, even while we live here in this world, even while we grow up here, and as you go through high school, and as you go into college. God wants your life to be focused, yes, on the things here, but more importantly, on the things that are coming in the future. That should make us, when we think about what Paul talks about here, long for the coming of Jesus, who's going to make all things right again. Romans 5:2 says, if we're in Christ, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. A question to ask you from these verses is, again, to ask if you have that hope. If you've placed your faith in Jesus and come to him and trusted in him, repenting of your sins and believing in the gospel. If you have, you have this hope, even if it doesn't feel like it some days. You have this hope that one day you will be perfect in heaven with Jesus forever. That's where you're headed. If you don't have that hope, you can have that hope today if you trust in Christ. God wants us to be standing firm and growing strong as Christians to make sure that we're not drifting off into the wrong direction. And how do we do that? God says it's to follow the faithful, to be warned about the foolish, and to focus on our future. This is where our focus needs to be. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. We love you, Lord, and thank you for the example of Paul, who followed you through this life and who set an example for us to follow. Thank you for the many Christians that have gone before us. I pray that these junior hires would grow, that they would grow strong as Christians, those of them who know you. Lord, I pray that you would help them to obey your word and to grow into more of who you want them to be. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.